Blog Talk Radio.
You got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. Then people gonna treat you better. You're gonna find, yes you will, that you're beautiful.
Good morning, everybody. This is Sarah from Your Important to Sarah, and I am in very, very sunny Toronto at the Boreal Gelato Company. We are here doing the show here today because I am interviewing my daughter, Tabitha, and she doesn't have internet. It seems kind of funny in this big city, but anyway, here we are in this really delightful gelato place, which I will be having one after the show. Today is going to be about the joys and the wonders and the experiences of South Africa. And probably not many of you know that I did actually live there for 11 years. It was a very, very cosmic and magical experience. The vibration, the rhythm, the whole entire scene in Vancouver, in Cape Town, where I lived for 6 years, was just absolutely spectacular. You had a beautiful Table Mountain with the tablecloth that came over. You had the wonderful two oceans that met, ocean and Pacific. The beaches were just white, gorgeous sand that fell through your fingers. The entertainment was always outside of someone's home. And you also had a great booth, as she's pointing out. Fabulous food, lovely bright places, which is barbecues. And the whole sense of life was all about socialization. Yes, we ate indoors, but, you know, people got together, people mingled. You did not really ever be alone there. And it was such a very friendly and cosmopolitan type place. I then moved to Johannesburg. Maybe not a good place to live, Johannesburg, but I suppose compared to Toronto, except for here you had lakes, you have options in other places to go to. There you had one man-made lake, and it really was a concrete jungle. I lived in a little town called Hillbrow, which we ended up nicknaming it Hillbrow Jailburg instead of Hillbrow Johannesburg. The nightlife was incredible. The cosmopolitan food and the cultures were amazing, but it was a city that never slept, which consequently means that you didn't sleep either. I lived on 17 coffees a day, I worked 12 hours, and I partied 6. So very much a tough lifestyle that you can't live for very long. So it was the 70s, and we did boogie as well. So we boogied the night away, and it was a great time. So South Africa was wonderful for me. My daughter recently went over there and kept posting pictures of South Africa, and for me it was a flashback to the memories of how young I was over there, how thin I was over there, the kind of life I had over there, and it really was a wonderful flashback. So what I'm going to be doing today is interviewing her on her experience in South Africa and what it actually meant to her. So, darling, this is Tabitha, my oldest. So, yeah, I know that you would love to have stayed in South Africa if you had the chance, and this is actually your second visit.
Absolutely.
You went over there 9 years ago?
Yeah, when I was a naive 20-year-old, and then it was interesting going back and knowing a little bit more about myself and the world, but definitely my heart is there still. It's like nothing changed when I went back. Even old friends 9 years ago, we kept in touch maybe once a year, and they just brought me back in their arms and said it seemed like I'd never left.
That's the beauty of it. They're very, very friendly and very, very opening, which is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I had instant family there.
Instant family. So kind of you arrived, you were embraced by the people. So just kind of give a day in the life of Tabitha in Cape Town.
Well, a lot of walking, which I enjoy doing, because you could go straight from the ocean, the water, the beaches, like Camp Bay or Clifton, and then walk up the mountains and see the view there and through the city. And because it was cheap for me against the Canadian dollar at the time, I dined a lot, very well. I love sitting in patios with a book, and so if I was by myself, I'd read and have a cocktail or a mojito at happy hour, and I'd go and have lunch and watch people go by, and typical day would just be doing that and then meet up with friends and have a couple drinks, maybe go dancing, go see a show. Just had a great time every day. I did a lot of activities like paragliding over Lion's Head.
That was a spectacular picture.
Oh, that was
seeing you kind of above the world. And it was so funny because we're looking at it, you can see the circular of the world from that on
absolutely.
The water. And it was a spectacular view of you up there in the paragliding.
Yeah. And I mean, I had other beautiful adventure days where I did a motorcycle tour. We went to Monkey Town. I actually got too close to the monkey cages that I got electrocuted, which is quite a spiritual experience, I guess, because I felt like I had superpowers after. You know, I went sailing. It was just amazing. So many things to do there.
Tabitha is a bartender here at the Great Hotel in Toronto. So if you ever come by to Toronto, look her up. And I know that for her, she's always been very interested in wines and drinks and cocktails, etc. And so what did you find, you know, with the beautiful wines over there and the various kind of lovely brandies, etc.? What did you find over there compared to here?
It kind of pisses me off that in Canada we can't get the export of the fine wines over in South Africa. It just doesn't happen that way. We get all the lesser quality, I'll say, kind of export wines here. So over there I drank wine every day. I had to get it out of my system. And I went to a couple of vineyards and dined over the like hills and mountains. And, oh, it was just gorgeous.
Did you go to Stellenbosch?
I didn't because I was saving for my boyfriend. We didn't end up going.
Ah, yes.
So I'm going to have to go back there.
Yeah, now, Stellenbosch is a beautiful place where all the vineyards are. And all the buildings are all Dutch and they're white. Mm-hmm. And it's exquisite town.
I did go to other ones, though. And there was a vineyard right beside the cheetah sanctuary where you saw photos of me petting the cheetahs.
Yes.
And it was just amazing, incredible thing.
One of my favorite pictures of you because you look so alive and like so, you know, happy. And the just experience of touching a cheetah. I mean, what was that like?
Well, they're very anxious animals. And I went with the cubs who were 6-month-old sisters. So they weren't used to humans yet, only their trainer. So I wasn't allowed to actually go in front of them
right.
to make them nervous. So I was allowed to go behind, but felt them purring.
Oh.
Incredible. The vibrations were just so wow. So I thought she was going to be angry. And then finally she fell asleep to me purring.
Oh, how beautiful. How
yeah,
lovely. And you can see that on your face. You can see that on your Facebook. And that kind of experience.
They're gorgeous creatures. And yeah,
they're
just amazing.
And I don't remember penguins when I was there.
Oh, yes.
And millions and millions of penguins. Where the hell did they come from?
Simonstown, which is the old Navy town, the fort there. Everyone's in military suits still. It's very British, a lot of tea shops. You take a train out there, and it's beautiful coastal kind of tour. But they're actually sand penguins, so they're so cute. And I actually saw them during mating season, which is interesting. So they're all doing their mating calls. Some of them are bearing their eggs, and it's just funny to hear them. And then some of them are actually making love, too, in the middle of the beach. And it was pretty interesting.
It's all about make love and not war. But.
Yeah, they were cute. Going back to the alcohol culture, it's not just wine, but they're... liquor isn't very good. And I like cocktails. And it's very hard to find proper cocktails over there. It's very... flavored vodkas and stuff like that over there, like caramel and bubblegum.
Yeah.
So
a little bit
behind.
I have to say, when I first came from South Africa, I kind of got rid of a lot of clothes and stuff like that. And thinking that when I was coming to Vancouver, in BC,
kind of similar.
Well, you know, and I also thought that they'd be so far ahead compared to South Africa. And I was quite shocked to actually find when I arrived, which is nearly 32 years ago, how behind Vancouver was at that time. How did you find, other than the booze culture, did you find anything kind of being behind Western culture over here?
Not really, actually. This is a very metropolitan city, quite old, multicultural as well. Toronto's different. It's so close to New York and everything. It's like a fashion and beverage, not wine and dine place, but I did find like fashion culture was amazing out there. Absolutely. I could have shopped every day.
Very vivacious. Lots of color.
Teased every day walking by.
Lots of flow. I mean, that's one thing I loved about it. I was there in the 70s and it was all about long, hippie dresses and flow and color. Because it was so hot, really, it was the only kind of thing you could wear. But it was always that, you know, just vibrancy. And, you know, back then, too, we still got dressed up to go out to shows and things like that, which was lovely. And I kind of miss that. We've missed this here, I think, in this culture where everything's still kind of is game. And we don't kind of dress up enough, and I wish that we did.
That's true. It was nice, though. I did wear some nice flowy gowns I could wear on the beach, and I was barefoot most of the time, except for days it was too hot, and I knew I was going to walk around for 8 hours. But I actually went to nice restaurants with no shoes on.
Yeah.
So it was perfect, and I came back here, so mad, it was cold, and I had to wear shoes.
So you went on a safari, so tell us about that.
Went on an overland safari for 3 weeks. I'm going to say South Africa, because it is the southern part, but it's not the country of South Africa. Went through, crossed over the border, the Orange River from Namibia, which is actually the divider now. Went canoeing down the Orange River, actually flipped the canoe, hit a rock.
Scary.
Of course, it was fun though. But went through the Namib Desert in Namibia for 10 days on overland bus with 10 other people. And thank God we all got along gregariously, so we had to live together on the bus and camp together for 3 weeks. I mean, it was just incredible seeing animals, all this flatland and bushes and mountains. It was gorgeous.
And you got so close. I mean, I see in some of the pictures
so
of lions, it looked like you were an awesome.
Oh, it was amazing. They were like 20 feet away. And we actually saw them during their meeting time as well, which is incredible to see. They do it 300 times a day.
Wow.
We were there for an hour watching them, and the male chose two females with them, and every 15 minutes, you walk back and forth, choose which one.
I don't know who I feel most sorry for.
Yeah, seriously. And you're growling, it was incredible. We saw lots of animals. We were lucky to see one rhino. We saw all of the big five, pretty much. Lots of elephants, which I love. They're gorgeous. But except for the leopard, he's hard to find. He's more nocturnal and really fast and in the trees. So. But we went to Atocha National Park, Botswana. We went to the deltas. We took macaros. We're actually in the water and camped where there was, like, triple camps, and we were pretty scared to come out of our tent that night. But our guides who live there all put on, like, African song and dance for us, traditional tribal songs and welcoming us.
You see, that's what I'm talking about, like, the spirit of Africa. You know, when the tribal songs are done, even when they kind of speak, they speak in rhythm.
They do.
I mean, what is it, what believe in it, other than, like, the music and the entertainment of it? What does that make you feel?
So alive and happy. Yeah. Connected to up down the land. People, like, they touch their heart when they sing, you know?
Yeah.
It's beautiful, and they're all in rhythm together, and they enjoy it so much. You feel so alive.
Yeah. And it's that vibration that really does lift up your spirit, doesn't it? And just
Absolutely. And I didn't even know what they were singing about, but I still knew what they were singing.
Yeah. Because they sing with such emotion. And even, like, even when they speak, did you come across any... Bantu with a kick. And again, that is so wonderful when they kick with that language, and it's, you know, it's quite something.
It made me feel so stupid that people in townships, the small villages and shanty homes, knew five languages.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they were raised with that. That's incredible. They have no education, not even running water, and they know five languages.
Yeah.
Just to get through all the villages.
Did you see any Zulu?
Nomadic. No.
Because you didn't go up to Durban, because they're both in the Durban area.
No, to Namibia, Botswana, Zimbabwe, and Zambia.
Right. What did you think of Zambia?
It was cool, actually, because I went there after the tour, after Zimbabwe was our last stop, and so I just spent 2 days there, went to a crocodile farm, which was pretty cool, but I kind of wish it was a bit bigger for them. In town, it was very live, locals selling stuff on the street. It was great. Being... with locals, you know?
Because it's been through a hell of a lot of turmoil in the
Absolutely.
I mean, would you say they're just beginning to stabilize there?
Not really. Maybe not from the tourism point of view, and I wasn't there long enough, but it was very much locals, not many tourists in Zambia. In Zimbabwe, it was different, because Mozi Otanya, the smoke that thunders, which is the falls, Victoria Falls, it looks like smoke coming out, mm-hmm. makes a lot of noise. That's got a lot of tourism there, but people still follow you around trying to sell you things, you know, but it doesn't seem very touristy at all. It's still very much Africa and Zimbabwe.
So, I mean, other than Cape Town, which I know you want to go back to, if there was one place you think, I have to come back here again, where would that be?
Oh, God, there's so many. I want to go to northern Africa next, Kenya and Morocco, which is so vibrant and colorful and musical. I would love to do that and go back down to Cape Town, going through north. But, I mean, in Africa where I've been to, I would love to go back to Botswana, maybe.
Yeah. That's one of the lovely place.
It is. Yeah. Beautiful people.
Yeah. I think that's the whole thing about it, is the beautiful people.
Mm.
You know, you look at people, such a simple life. I mean, I used to go to the farms, and at that time, apartheid was very strong.
Right.
So, you know, the native people, black people, were in their segregation where they lived. But if you were sitting outside at night on your veranda, you would hear them singing.
Mm.
And, you know, they would sing in rhythm. One person sings out, and then... the rhythm that comes in afterwards, and you could just sit there for hours with them singing, and you know, it was so soulful, so you know, mesmerizing. You kind of, when you went to sleep, you kind of went to sleep with this wonderful calming rhythm after listening to those songs. So I found it very, very beautiful being there.
I loved all the kids waving. That was amazing.
Yes, yeah. It's been a long time since I've been there, of course, 32 years, and yes, I really do want to go back. One of my wishes is I'd like to be there with, you know, with all of my children, actually, because I had 11 years there, so I did a lot, saw a lot, and traveled a lot there. I used to take myself away for a weekend, just pack myself up and go somewhere, and stop at a hotel and meet people. And so I used to take the Africana farmers, I would be invited back. I was like a celebrity, the way they treated you. They'd all put on an entire feast, the whole family would come out, and it was just a wonderful way of just meeting everybody.
So did, other than kind of your tourist friends and the friends that you knew in Cape Town, did you get to meet any other kind of people?
Well, not so much on safari because we were very much on an itinerary and we had to set up a fort guard because we had to do our own tents. We did a lot of group activities, but we did have time to wander off where we went to the local shanty towns away, but you didn't want to be intrusive,
right?
So you want to give them something. You can see their homes, you don't want to be exploitive. But everyone was so lovely and waved regardless, and I did talk about 2 hours with them. A couple from Namibia who'd never left Namibia before.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a passport. And they're like, holy shit, you've done more in Africa than I have lived here in my whole 34 years.
But that could be said actually probably even
but it's inspiring
to
them. They want to. And they're like, you're from Canada? What are you doing here?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
The other thing I found too is, you know, how many people did you meet? I mean, this very huge British thing in Cape Town. There was a lot of Germans when I was there. So, I mean, are there any kind of new influx of cultures there since I've left that may be new to the area?
Not so much in maybe history, language, and architecture, but definitely more and more cultures coming, I believe.
One thing you told me a story about your guy that was your tour guide.
Yes,
and then how the guy had to work 8 months on and 4 months off, and that he was the oldest of his tribe, so he had to make his family. So he had to make that money to send back, and that he couldn't get married because he'd be away from his wife too long.
Yeah.
Everybody counted on
him. He's the only one who isn't married out of his oldest brothers and sisters. But he loved his job. He's very nomadic. He gave so much information. He joined in with us. Great. But when he goes home, he doesn't even have a home, really. He just visits his family and friends for a couple weeks, and then goes back on tour again.
Right.
It's a great lifestyle, but yes, it would be kind of lonely not having a partner, but at least you get to
Because every 3 weeks he's got new people, so yes, there's the longevity of it and it's easy to keep up with him. So.
But that's how it is in a lot of the towns. People work outside and send money back home to their family. And the rest of them just sit at home and fix the farm and help the kids and all that, right?
Now, you went to Prague before you went to South Africa.
Yeah.
And the photographs from that are quite spectacular. The architecture there is just absolutely incredible. And, you know, going from here to Prague and then over to Cape Town, you know, quite diversity there. I know that you've got plans to go traveling again and in the future. So what is
that? Absolutely. As a bug, I don't want to stay.
Yeah, I know. Yes, you've definitely got the bug. I mean, I've done 24 countries, she's at 23, but you're like, get going and get back out there before you overtake me. So South America for the next one.
Yes, I just said I'm never doing Canadian winter again.
Yeah, I completely get you on that one.
I hate the cold. So yeah, South America is easy for Canadians to have visas and work, so I'd like to do that and maybe work Costa Rica at a little beach place for a while and make money to go, sustain myself to go to Peru and Argentina and meet up with old traveler friends there and eventually go back to Africa and settle my roots there, but I want to get some more travel done before I...
So you think you'd like to end up in South Africa?
Absolutely.
Now, of course, when I left, there was an awful lot of terrorism going on, bombs going up, the politics were bad, and of course the apartheid was really coming to that crutch. And, you know, you've got all these conflicting stories where I know that you were telling me that there's a very gated community now where people have high fences and gates. When I was there, we didn't have that. So, I mean, a lot of people go, oh, well, this stuff happened because of the violence. So you were there. What did you see? What do you feel about it?
I didn't see any violence. You hear about it. And you just have to be careful and be respectful and mindful. Don't walk in as a victim or act like it. I did get mugged twice, but not at knife point or anything. It was just the way it is, poverty. It was my own fault for not holding on to my things properly enough, right? And in my mind, I can't get mad. I'd hope it'd go back to their family for good reason, not for drugs or anything.
Right.
But other than that, I didn't really see any violence at all. I mean, there's security everywhere in Cape Town now. You just got to be careful and respectful, you know?
Well, it's just any city you go to, there's always areas that are to
right.
do. So be smart, you know, and don't go. Of course, when I was there, carjacking was enormous. You couldn't drive a nice car.
I think that still happens.
It still happens?
Yeah. You just got to keep your things out of your car. Careful.
No, they would actually
steal your car.
Steal the car.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people have been shot for their
car.
Right. I can
imagine.
So, I mean, that was at the height of it, obviously. But, you know, obviously, the thing is, I remember being in the States in 76. And there was a propaganda story of what was going on in South Africa at the time. And it looked like it was a, you know, absolutely
coup going on there, and everybody was being sliced and diced.
Right.
And I phoned home, and of course, none of that was going on. It was all that propaganda that was going on, sensationalizing.
Right.
You know, it's rather like here, the right, but we had
right.
a Vancouver, all of a sudden, the whole of Vancouver.
You know, where I'd like
right.
to go is Rwanda, but so many people are scared of going there. It's beautiful, but the people since the genocide in the 90s, the Hutus and the Tutsis,
yes.
it's horrible, disgusting. Horrible. These are constantly reminded that they've all come together now in healing and never want that to happen again. So
yeah.
people are beautiful and more people that come to the country again now know that it's safe. And I would love to go there now.
I think that, you know, war at any time is horrible and disgusting, but what is wonderful of war is very often the innovation that comes out of it, because there's always a brilliant technology. But also the coming together, rather like the 9/11 in New York.
Mm.
New York changed after that. People, you know, are now out to defend their own city and the people within the city instead of victimizing it. So if you can get people to come together, it's just a shame that some sort of trauma has to make that happen and that we can't do it in our everyday lives.
It's amazing to see how many people, like Khayelitsha in Cape Town alone, has a million people, the biggest township. I went to one in Namibia, it's called Mondesa. It was still nice because people had concrete homes, but the shanty towns and the houses are shacks made of tin sheets. They actually come together as a community, and I saw them on the highway passing by playing soccer with any tools they found to make fences, like pylons or garbage.
Yeah.
And those were their fences. And they still live as a community and take care of each other. Don't see it as living in shack homes. They have hope still because they don't know any difference, maybe, and take care of each other and still have a good life. Kind of.
And the thing is, if you actually look at kind of Western society, you know, kids think that everything is like their right. You know,
yes.
give me my cell, give me my tech, give me this, give me that.
So much.
And you know, you give birth to me, so you owe me. But when you come across these children that are just happy to have a meal at the end of the day, you know, a ball to kick around, they're in raggedy clothes, but they live with a smile on their face, and the way they're there for each other. And there's so much that we can learn from this, that we know we've got to stop kind of exploiting everything else that we do materially and really be out there and reach out for each other.
Well, in Mondesa Township, we went to the school, which is great, but it costs money for them to send their kids to school, too. We also went to, like, a AIDS adoption agency as well, where kids were born with AIDS and parents were sick. And, you know, you just want to adopt them all. But the kids were so happy. Just have the photos taken and see themselves, you know. I want to go send those photos of themselves back to that school to see. But they were just so happy with simple things being kids, you know.
A lot of people like Gates and Oprah and a few others have injected money into it for Africa now. For schools, for the AIDS program. It was completely being ignored by the South African government. And so it was the outside sources that brought it in. Are you actually seeing any evidence of that happening?
Seems to be, yes. And it is more smaller efforts, but I think people being more aware of not to. I mean, I'm reading Mandela's book right now, and he's saying our future generation, the next generation, the future, educating children and educate the woman.
Yes.
You know?
Well, you know, it used to be if you had AIDS, you had sex with a baby to get rid of it.
I know.
I mean, you know,
it's
crucial, and it was quite disgusting. So I do know that there has been an outside education coming from Western
world.
They are
doing that
now,
but it used to be sex. That's why they make it was from sex. So now they're making more aware for people to realize
the education
of
it.
Condoms and stuff. Yes.
So other than kind of just a blanket way of life, if there's one thing that South Africa did for you, that one thing that you'll take with you forever, what would it be? Or one or two things? Just in a type
of
way.
My breath away, I mean, it's indescribable. I mean, beauty, definitely, but it just makes you feel full in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, your soul, it just feels right. I don't know how to explain it.
Good to be alive.
Really?
Yeah.
I appreciate it. It's humbling and I appreciate life.
I think a lot of the time, especially in a big city or in our daily lives, you know, we're also busy trying to connect. And, you know, I have the philosophy of the soul to heart to spirit to knowledge. And if people could start listening and living by their soul, having their soul feed all the other senses, I think people would actually find more joy in life. And, you know, if everybody's trying to feed the intellect or feed the outside of the body or, you know, content on the inside of the body and nobody's listening to what the body and the soul and the heart is saying, when you go to places like that, it really is kind of forcing you just because it is a way of life there.
Right.
It's forcing you because that's how everybody else lives. You get caught up into that vibration. And it's such a wonderful vibration. I think it's also a lot to do with hot countries. You know, you look at a lot of the hot countries and a lot of them can be on the poverty line there.
Right.
But there is that sense of joy and life and living that is quite something. So, you know, maybe we need to...
Surviving, too.
Yeah.
But I like that it's south because there is that nice breeze because it did get very hot and it was very dark and I loved it.
Yes.
So many people want to go in the shade, though, of course, but... It just makes me happy when the sun shines there because the energy. I was waking up early mornings and I don't usually
she doesn't.
I was still staying out late.
Yeah.
I just couldn't help it. The sun was up. I'm like, whole day ahead of me.
Yes. And the water was wonderful. Did you get
the cold, actually.
Did you get to swim in the kitchen side and the side?
I did.
Yes,
it's warmer.
And it lives in its crystal blue. It's absolutely gorgeous. And the beaches, of course, are nicer on the kitchen side. The Newfoundland side is a little bit more sandy. So, did you manage to drive along the wall at
all? Absolutely, Devil's Peak and all of that.
Yeah.
And my friend took me, it was very nice for the last four rounds. Great.
And you went to, is it Half Bay?
I did not make it to Half Bay this time. There's
really
a lot of things I wanted to do that I did last time, but I mean, next time I go, I want to drive up to the Chong Sky and go up coast, you know.
Going along actually from Cape Town to Durban. There's a beautiful cave along the way.
Yeah.
Well, you go to Pretoria to Durban, but there's this magnificent cave. When you go into the vibrancy of the colours that are there, it's gorgeous. And then following that coastline along there is absolutely exquisite. Durban, of course, is very, very humid, but always hot. And it, you know, driving basically from Cape Town to Johannesburg is just dull and boring.
I've done that 18-hour bus ride.
Yeah, no, it's not fun. But if you go along the coastal front, it's very, very good.
Well, when I live there, I'll go do all of that.
Yes, and obviously then I'm going to have to come over and see you. Otherwise, I'm never going to see you, am I?
I'll do a tour as well with my friend's group, Pangea Tours. He'll take you through all of that. Amazing.
I have to wish I actually had stayed more time in Cape Town because when I was living in Joburg, because of the fast life.
I'm jealous you spent 6 years there.
Yeah, I had 6.5 years there and I do wish I had stayed because it really was magnificent. And I have to say, all the countries that I've been to, I have such fond memories of the life there, of the people there. And I moved around a lot and I lived by the waterfront of Newlands and various other places, which I can't remember because it's too long ago now. But it was always the wonderful socialization with everybody that I love. And the freedom and just the wind in your hair and just the openness of everything that I do miss very, very much.
Well, the people that were staying at the same backpackers I was at, there was a lot of Germans and Israelis getting along.
Everybody.
Became his family because we were just so lucky to be there.
Yeah.
All being beautiful places like the Jews who tell me about Israel, I want to go there, but they're saying, Cape Town beats everything. It's the vibe there.
Yes, it is.
It.
And it's beautiful. It is
absolutely
beautiful. You do need a car. Yes, you do definitely need a car. The transportation in South Africa is not good. You need a good car, and you need to be sensible about where you drive.
On the left-hand side.
Yes, of course. And you also need to know that you go there to devour the food, the booze, the people, the light there. And if do not go for a week, make sure you go for a month because there's no way you can get everything done in a week.
And it'll make you appreciate life and others so much more when you see what everyone goes through.
The rhythm and the vibration and the music of life there is just so exquisite. The artistry and the natural artistry, the animals, and just the nature with the Table Mountain and the various other mountains that are around there.
Stunning.
There's everything about it that's just so absolutely magnificent. So, we're coming to an end, and I thank you very much, Tabitha, sharing this with me, and makes me feel jealous wanting to go back. Next week, I am actually having Bonnie Gale on again. Last time, if any of you did hear, unfortunately, I couldn't get through to have her filled in for me. I am going to be interviewing again because we are talking about the spirituality and the sensuality, and so she will be on again next week. So I hope that you tune in. She is a fantastic guest, lots to learn from her. And I hope that you tune in with her. And have a fabulous week, everybody. I'm about to go and party again with my daughter. She's walking through Toronto. And I hope everybody has a fantastic week. And over and out. See you both.